Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Thinking Day service and to the visitors that we have with us, an especially warm welcome. We're just going to pray for a few moments. So we're just going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to talk to God for a few moments together. Let's pray. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment in this day when we can be together in this special place that has been set apart so that we can come together and we can worship you. We thank you that you are a living God and our Father too. We thank you that there is no beginning to your life and there will be no end. And that to us is a great mystery, something that we as human beings find very hard to understand. But we thank you that you're not like us. Completely different. We thank you that there is no evil in you, no badness in you, and that you are completely good, that you are absolutely kind, that your love has no beginning and has no end. And we thank you for that very special moment in the history of the world when you sent Jesus Christ into this world. We thank you that in a mysterious way, a way that we find difficult to understand too, he was your son. He was God himself coming into our world. And we thank you that he changed everything, especially our lives and our destinies. So we come today with thanksgiving in our lips and on our hearts too. And we want to thank you for the boys and girls and the young people who are here today, and for their leaders and for mums and dads, and indeed for everyone who's here today, we give you thanks. And we ask that you would help us, because each one of us needs some help, needs some word from you that will just make that difference to our lives. Help us, Lord, then, as we come today, speak to us and give to us your blessing. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to, guys, read something from the Bible today, two passages. Now, let me explain to you what we've been doing here. There are four Gospels in the Bible. Matthew, can you name them? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, what we mean by gospel, the word gospel means good news, okay? So there are four books at the beginning of the New Testament that tell the story of Jesus. So people have written down the story of Jesus as they remember it. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all wrote down their stories. And for the last few weeks here in this church, we've been looking at Mark's gospel. And you'll see from the orders of service that you've got there, encouraging people just to read it themselves during the week as well. So what I thought I would do today is just continue that and have two stories from Mark chapter 9, and we'll think about them for a wee while together, okay? 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them.
Then Elijah and Moses, these were two people who had lived several hundred years before Jesus, appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter explained, "Rabbi, it is wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him." Suddenly they looked around. Moses and Elijah were gone, and they only saw Jesus with them. Now, Jesus, can anybody tell me what Jesus' job was? Apart from being the Son of God, what else was it? A person to help people. But he only started doing that when he was 30 years old. He had a job before he did that. Came down to fix the world. Yeah, I know he did all that. Yeah. These are good answers. But Jesus didn't start kind of doing all the things that all the incredible things he started doing until he was 30. Do you know what his job was before that? Do you not know? No, he wasn't a shepherd. That's a good answer. He was a carpenter. Right? He was a joiner. Right? Or a joiner, as we'd say in Glasgow. Right? He was a carpenter. He worked with wood. His dad was a carpenter. And what would have happened in those days, he would have just done the job that his dad did. So he worked with wood. He was a carpenter. Okay. So he would have been a very, very ordinary man. And if he was a carpenter and he'd worked with wood and he would have done that probably since he was about 10 or 11 years old, working with his father, maybe even younger than that, he would have been somebody who would have been quite well built. His hands would have had many a scratch on them and many a scar on them too. So in many respects, he was just an ordinary man. And then something happened. Like God spoke to him in a kind of clear way, a way that he understood. And he began this 3 years doing quite incredible things, healing people, miracles, and just telling people about God and about how they could get their life right with God. And then kind of almost before he died, about a fortnight before he died, he climbs this mountain with three of his disciples, and something incredible happened. It says he was transformed. In other words, there was this kind of inner glow, if you like, came out of him, and the disciples were so overcome by it that they just kind of fell down before him. And it says that, you know, it's like there just this light came out of him that was brighter than the sun. He was transformed or transfigured. Why do you think that happened? What do you think it tells us about? I think it tells us that the ordinary man wasn't ordinary at all, right? That he was somebody unique, somebody really special. And we in the church call him God's son, right? Jesus was God's son. But that story has got two things that I want you to remember, right? It says there that Moses and Elijah, have you ever heard of Moses and Elijah? Hands up those who have heard of Moses. Okay. Do you know when Moses lived? Before Jesus? He lived about 700-800 years before Jesus. Okay. And Elijah lived about 600-700 years before Jesus. Okay. So Moses and Elijah were prophets. Very, very special men to the Jews. And they died. What's special about that story? What's it telling you? They're not dead at all. And what that story is trying to get across in part is this, that we think when somebody dies, that that's the end of their life. But it isn't. it isn't. And in some mysterious way that we find really, really difficult to understand, God completely changes even death. Now that story, you know, if we're saying, you know, I find it really difficult to believe in life after death, and, you know, it's a hard thing to get your head around, that's one of the stories that says, you know, guys, there is life after death, because these people had been dead for hundreds of years, or so we thought, but they weren't really. Wherever they were still alive, and more alive than ever before. But there was another thing happened there. There was a voice spoke that sounded like God's voice. Do you know what he said? Do you remember what it said there? Good for you. Yeah. Yeah. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him. You're all at school, yeah? You ever heard your teacher exasperated and saying to you, listen to me? Or have your mother and father said that sometimes, right? When, as we would say in Glasgow, you're slinging them a diffy, right? That means you're not listening to them. Listen to me, son. Listen to me, young lady. Why would he do that? So they can get their attention. That's right. In other words, it's something really quite special that they had to say to you. And they wanted to get your attention. And that's what God is saying there. Look, you might look at my son, you might look at Jesus, and you might think, happened 2,000 years ago, or you might think, he's maybe not that special, and yet here's one of those incidents in his life that's saying, listen to him. Listen to him. If you don't listen to anybody else, listen to him. And if you listen to him, your life will undoubtedly change. Okay.
Guys, you belong to two very special and unique organizations where you're learning and growing as young people to appreciate and understand that life can be much better than you ever imagined. And you've got leaders that are there to guide and to help you and who give you their time. So this moment is a very important moment in your year, because this is the moment when you reaffirm and take your vows. So I'm going to ask the leaders if they will come out now and lead you in that.
You've taken very important vows there. Can we just pray a blessing on them, can we? Let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all the young people who are here today. We want to thank you for their leaders too. And we want to thank you for all the promises and vows that have been made today. We thank you that they're important promises. And we'd ask that you would help these young people, to the best of their ability, to keep them. Amen. Another passage from Mark chapter 9. Let's hear what it says. After they arrived, that's Jesus and his disciples, at a place called Capernaum, and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples this question: what were you discussing out on the road? But they didn't answer, because they'd been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. He sat down and called the 12 disciples over to him and said, whoever wants to be first must take the last place and be the servant of everyone else. Then he put a child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me. The disciples were doing something that we all do. And there was 12 of them. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years. And they were arguing. What were they arguing about? Who's going to be first? Who's going to be the greatest? Absolutely. Who's going to be the greatest? Is there anything wrong with that? No, nothing's wrong with that. Who's going to be the greatest? Right. In other words, what they were saying is, who's going to be at the top of the tree and the best of everyone who's here? Because that's what life's all about, isn't it? Right? A lot of the programs you watch are about who's going to be a star, who's going to be a millionaire, who's going to make millions of pounds by becoming one of Britain's top singers, or who's going to earn £100,000 a week by being one of Britain's top footballers, right? Who's going to be the greatest? That's what life is all about. Who's going to be the greatest model? Who's going to be the greatest footballer? Who's going to be the greatest singer? Right, okay, it might be what life's all about. Is that what Jesus says life's all about? What was his answer? The answer was no, right? What did he say that we should be? Instead of wanting to be the greatest, where everybody else bowed down to us and everybody else made a big thing of us, what did he say we should be? What was the word he used? Begins with an S. Serve other people. You know, it's kind of curious, guys, that the Son of God should come down into our world and say, I want you to be like me and serve other people. Because there is little satisfaction gained from trying to be the greatest, but there is incredible satisfaction from serving other people. In other words, what Jesus was saying there is this: you make it your ambition to do good to other people, and that's you living life as you should. You make it your ambition not to be the big head and the big man or the big woman who gets to the top of the tree, but you make it your ambition to be the kind of person and do the kind of things where you help others. That's the vows you just took. That's the promises you just made, aren't they? To serve, to look out for other people, to be kind to other people. And that's the kind of people that God wants us to be. That's the kind of people that Jesus wants us to be as well. In fact, that's the kind of people this world needs. Because when you look at the news, that's not the kind of news you read. And here is it. You hear about evil and selfishness and disasters and see people killing one another for no reason. And if we thought about what Jesus says, is he took a child and he brought the child in and said, this is what you must be like. Be like the little child and look after the little child and think about the little child. And if you do that, you're doing my will. You know, it's really hard to be a human being, isn't it? It's really hard to do what's right. It's really hard because you've got lots, I think we thought about this last time, you've got lots of competing voices, haven't you, who are just asking you to do something, to be something. And you've got this very quiet voice that's saying, live your life to serve others. And that's what matters. That's what will make a difference to your life and to the life of other people as well. Jesus interestingly said two things. The whole of life is summed up with these things. Love God with the whole of your heart and with everything that you have. And love other people the same way. And that means you're not putting yourself first, you're putting God first, you're putting other people next, and then yourself. And do you know what? That's how you become a truly happy person. Seriously, guys, that's how you become a truly happy person. Let's pray. And this time when we pray, we're going to be praying for other people. Heavenly Father, when we pray with a certain amount of confusion, because we don't really know
sometimes what to pray for. We look at Libya and we think about the Christians who were killed in Libya. And it horrifies us, and we feel angry at what these men did when they killed these people and all the other killings that have taken place by IS. But how are we to pray? I think, Lord, we want to pray for the people of IS. We want to pray for these three young girls that left their homes to go to join them, and for the many, many hundreds, maybe thousands, who've left Britain and France and other countries to go and join them, thinking that they're doing the right thing. And we want to pray that you will change their hearts from hearts that are violent and aggressive and want to do harm to other people, to the kind of thing that we were thinking about today, to the way that Jesus would want us to live, to live in such a way that we show compassion and kindness and grace and love. We think of the people who had been held captive, knowing, Lord, that they'll be fearing for their lives. We think of their families at this time too. And we ask that you would bless their families with peace, and that you would bless the captives with peace too. In fact, Lord, it's peace that we pray for. Not just peace across somewhere like the Middle East. We certainly pray for that. But peace in our own hearts, in our own minds, in our own community, in our own homes. Father, we think of our young people here today. We want to thank you for them. We want to thank you for their commitment to their youth organization. We want to pray, Lord, that you will help them to grow up to be the kind of people who will want to serve others, who will want to make a difference in life, who will have an impact for good on other people's lives. Come into their lives and help them, Lord, to be the kind of people that they can be, to maximize the goodness that is in them, so that they find a true vocation in their lives that will be of benefit to you and to your kingdom and to other people. Heavenly Father, we then pray for those who really need you today, who are ill, who are in hospital, who are in care home, who are at home and maybe suffering from a terminal illness. We think of those, Lord, who really need your help. We think in particular of those who are homeless, who sleep rough in Dunfermline, and for those, Lord, who go out to help them every day. We ask, Lord, for your blessing upon them, and we ask that you would help them to change their lives. Lord, go with us now and bless each one of us, for we ask this in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.